Well, I want to thank you for attending King of Peace Metropolitan Community Baptist Church this morning. Where's Joel? Yes, you brought me back home, honey. Thank you. But we are also at a new change in our church. We're now upon the Lenten season. Anybody grew up with the Lent? Obviously, I didn't, okay? Praise the Lord. You know, it's the little things, isn't it? When I was growing up in the Baptist church, we didn't do much of Lent. We kind of smushed all of Easter, the Easter season, as a combination of Lent, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection all in one day, okay? So we had a lot going on for Easter Sunday. And so when I finally discovered MCC and I started going to seminary and I started learning what this season was all about, it kind of was weird for me. Does anyone have that feeling that when they first learned about it, it was just kind of bizarre, that this season is just kind of weird? To me, Lent is a somber time when we are reminded that our faith tradition is probably a joyous one. Christianity itself is a very joyous faith tradition until it gets hijacked by other people, but that's a whole different Oprah altogether. Lent also symbolizes that we are human. We do make mistakes. We are mortal. And especially Ash Wednesday teaches us eventually we're going to die. Right? That's just a matter of fact. It happens. Lent is also a weird time because it almost makes us take a look at the mirror and recognize that we are indeed human beings and that we're less than perfect. Right? Are there any perfect people here in this place? I don't see no one. Okay. So we are less than perfect, but in these next 6 weeks, as we continue our journey through the Gospels, in these next 6 weeks, I have come to realize that Lent is vitally important to our faith tradition. It's vitally important. Lent helps us kind of pause, and we take a deep breath. Our life can get very busy, can it? Believe me, I know. Life can get very busy. It can get very hectic. It can stress you out. It can run you down. It can make you hold your hands up to say, I'm done. And then you have to come to church on Sunday and you have to hear someone pontificate for the next 20, 25, 30 minutes about how bad you are. That doesn't help you, does it? So Lent, I don't. Lent helps us just reflect. It keeps us quiet. Lent acknowledges that we are indeed human. We do make mistakes. But Lent tells us that it's God's grace and mercy that pulls us through. It's God's grace and mercy to let us know that we're okay, that we're going to be just fine. Lent helps us remember who we are and whose we are. And that to fully get to the heart of our faith, we must always trust and follow the one who shows us the way, can make the impossible possible, and that no matter what storms may try to prevail in our lives, we always have Jesus to be more powerful than any storms in our life. Amen. Speaking of storms, I remember that there have been various storms in my life. You know, I'm one of these people that tries to hold it together, product of a good Southern household, prim and proper, be okay, show no emotion, lost that in sixth grade, but that's okay. But when I was a sophomore at the University of Georgia, I had just come out around November of that year, November 2000, right after the presidential election. And that summer, I had lost my faith. I was the golden boy at New Harmony Baptist Church in New Harmony, Georgia. I could do no wrong. And then I came out. Oops. Sorry. You're talking to someone who was the choir director at one point in time, who taught Vacation Bible School. Hey, they even had me teach their kids, praise the Lord. And on top of that, my grandfather, as many of you well know, was the pastor of that church at one point in time. So I was the next in line, you see. I was the golden boy. I could do no wrong. But that summer, after I had seemingly lost my faith, I struggled with a lot of problems. I struggled with a lot of various storms in my life. I discovered alcohol. Legally. And let me just tell you, I lived an hour from Atlanta, Georgia. I had bad boyfriend issues. May I go on? I had parents whom I couldn't trust. I had parents I could not rely on. I had a 1987 Honda Accord that was stalled and was dead. I had car issues. I had no vehicle. Financial difficulties. And of course, I had employment problems because I couldn't work. And oh yeah, by the way, I was a full-time student. Sometimes I even wondered who or what I could turn to. Life was very bleak for me in that moment. I didn't know where to go, who to turn to. My counseling was ending. And the storms that I had in my life were very forgiving, unforgiving, and relentless. And I just couldn't see my way through. I didn't know what to do or where to go, so I consulted all those issues. I consulted all those issues, and that became something to fill the void that was in my life, because I knew I couldn't turn to Jesus. I couldn't turn to Jesus. I was at the point where I just said, Jesus, you stay over here, and I stay over there. Has anyone had those feelings before? I couldn't walk into a church without immediately feeling like I was ostracized and cast out. And yet I still had to retain an image. I could probably understand how the disciples felt that day in our passage this morning. According to authors, the lake or the Sea of Galilee was very moody. Storm systems, bad weather, always was and is pretty standard for that lake. William Barclay, in his commentary, told us that the Sea of Galilee is more than 600 feet below sea level. And what happens is that all of these valleys come and descend upon this lake. Rivers are cut into the lake, and it brings cold air with them. So when you have the cold air mixed with the hot air, storms take place. Very unpredictable. I imagine the disciples knew that the Sea of Galilee was very unforgiving because they knew that system. They knew that sea. It was known to them. But off they went to their tiny little boat with Jesus among them. Jesus was very, very tired. He was sleeping, our passage says, right? I imagine he wanted nothing more than to just sleep, rest, and pray. Then the storms come. They were stuck on a tiny boat that would be filled to capacity. It wasn't like one of our cruise ships that we have today. It was a very small ship that could only accommodate 12, 13 people at most. It was not a good situation. Then the unthinkable happens because, you know, Jesus can make the impossible possible, right? Jesus, who trusted his men and their skill as fishermen, calmed and rebuked the storm, which was seen as very demonic, very chaotic, and questioned the disciples by saying, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" The disciples were dumbfounded that all of a sudden this storm system that was prevailing upon them in such gale force winds had all of a sudden dissipated and had died down. They looked at each other and said, "Who is this man? Who is he? What is he doing?" This is the main theme that's going to dominate the Gospel of Luke. How many of you are reading through the Gospels? Just keep in mind, you're going to see this theme over and over again in the Gospel of Luke. Who is this man? Who is this man? But when I read and when I read this passage for the first time, I was immediately struck by this. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where do you place your faith? It's easy for us just to say, "Oh, we place it in Jesus." Do you really? Do you really place your faith in Jesus? I thought about that a lot over the past couple of weeks. One of the commentators reminded us and remarked that the question of faith is usually linked in Luke with miraculous power. It's not faith that actually saves. Keep in mind, it's not faith that saves. It's Jesus in whom that faith is placed. Faith is not an intellectual conversation, so much a practical reliance on supernatural power. To have faith means that we have to go beyond ourselves. Having faith in Jesus means it's not about you. Having faith means that you must go beyond yourself to trust someone and something whom we may have never seen before, but we can trust in his power and his spirit. And it's someone that we can fully rely on to say, "Help me, I need you." And Jesus will come on through. You know, there's a song, now I'm going off script, so please excuse me. "I believe in an on-time God." Right? May not be where you want him, but he'll be there right on time. We have to rely on the power of Jesus to pull us through. We all have storms in our life, don't we? We all have things in our life that we just want to get rid of. When that bill comes due, praise the Lord. When student loan bills come due. Oh, I'm treading. When things are due in our life that we just rack our brain and we say, "How in the world are we going to get through this?" I believe that faith is putting all of our eggs in God's basket and knowing that God will not break them. But it can't be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. True faith in Christ means that we must be willing to give everything over. Leave it at the altar, in Baptist language. But that doesn't mean we can pick it back up when service is ended. A lot of our problems have to deal with us saying, "I got this." When we let go and we fully let God, That means we have full and complete faith, knowing that it's beyond us, knowing that it is beyond of us. And then there are others. Other people, maybe in our pews right now, have misplaced their faith, or they redirected it to something else. Many people have lost their faith because of something their faith tradition did to them a long time ago, or even recently. Something in their worldview shook them to the very core of their belief, so much so they feel like God has lost or abandoned them. That Jesus, who we know, has calmed every ocean in the world but yours. Right? That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come to us, and that we have done just enough, one more than we needed, for the Spirit to just get up, dust its hands off, to say, I'm done and I'm leaving the building. Folks, King of Peace, and you at home, I believe that there is no place too dark or too deep, too far or too wide for Jesus not to calm the oceans in your life. I believe that Jesus has come down to know and to have King of Peace in his very mind and in his very heart. I believe that Jesus, although he existed 2,000 years ago, knew that we would be here at this very moment and said, King of Peace, I am with you to the end of the earth. There is no place too dark or too deep, too far or too wide for Jesus not to calm the oceans in your life. And if you believe in something different, or if you've lost your way, if you ever feel that God has stranded you, has abandoned you, has left you, I want to challenge you, and I say that word very intentionally, to find out who was the one that has moved away. Who was the one that moved away? Where do you place your faith? When we have faith in Jesus, not everything is going to be perfect. Not everything is going to be perfect. This ain't no prosperity gospel. I am not going to say when you just have faith in Jesus, everything's going to be right again. Because it ain't. It's not going to be pretty all the time. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said, it's going to get even worse. But when we put our hands in the hand of the man from Galilee, we know that we ain't alone in this struggle. We know we have an advocate on our side. We know we have someone who can call upon to help us with our storms in life that come our way. We don't have to do this alone. To know that we are being carried and we are standing on a solid rock. Y'all know that song? I almost sang it, but I'm not. We are being carried. It reminds me of that Footprints poem. One day this man or this woman had died and gone to walk with God. And this person looked throughout their life and saw all these footprints, some with two sets and then some with one. That person looked to God and said, these one set of footprints there's only one set. These were all the problems that I had gone through. But there's one set of footprints. God said, that's easy. I carried you. I carried you. Folks, no matter how difficult life gets, you will always have a Savior with you. Because I know He lives. I know He lives. It took me a long time to figure that out. It took me almost 4 years to figure out that Jesus never left me. It was me. I was the one that moved away. And when I walked into an MCC for the first time in my life, Jesus came out to me and said, "Welcome back. Welcome home. We have been expecting you. It's about time. Because I have plans for you, but that's another story for another day." Folks, I can't promise you that life is going to get even better. I can't promise you any good answers to life's problems. Reverend Candace may. That's why she's my boss. But I imagine that she can't give you the easy answers either. Life is not meant to be easy. I wouldn't do you any justice if I told you it was. But if you continue to put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, you will know that you can make it through. So during these next 6 weeks, I encourage you this morning, keep moving on. And if you are discouraged, then I want you to remember you are loved. You have grace and mercy. And I know this. Why should I fear? Discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long? That heavenly home with Jesus is my portion. A constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye I know He watches me. not your heart
Come on, bro.
Be troubled. Those tender words I hear and resting on God's goodness, I lose my doubt and my fear. Though by the path he leads me with each step I must take. Oh, and his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
I see. Is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen. 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 Let us pray. Precious God, we know that you are watching us today. We know that Jesus is our portion and a constant friend is he. And during this season of Lent, as we examine the very depthness of who we are, may we know that there is no place too far, too wide, too dark, or too deep where you cannot find us. May you continue to be the model that exists for us, knowing that we are not perfect, but we know that you will guide us along life's way. Be with us and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.